Yeah, this album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from, that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. And all the niggas in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match.
Let me just jump in right here before we listen to the whole song. Hey, I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And sitting in with us today, we have Mr.
J.L. Covan.
And we have three guys on.
Trying to raise a daughter.
I've always wanted to interview Biggie and just ask Biggie some questions. Biggie, can I ask you some questions right now, Biggie? Biggie, can you answer some questions for me? Biggie, can you answer some questions for me?
Oh, yeah, boy.
So when you wrote If You Don't Know, Now You Know, what exactly were you trying to impart to the masses?
You know, just like, if you don't know, like, you know, you just gotta get that knowledge, you know, just...
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck you asking.
That's exactly what the answer I would expect. No more, no more problems. How did you rap?
Very breathy guy.
How did you rap so well, being so breathy?
Like, if he were still alive, he'd be out there with an oxygen tank. Like, just like...
Like John Riggins after a touchdown.
Well, you know what? I think Big Pun scared the shit out of a lot of fat rappers.
Well, Biggie was not... Like, Biggie today would just be, like, big.
Yeah.
Whereas Big Pun, when they actually would show him...
700 pounds.
Yeah, because you just see him, like, neck up and be like, that's a chubby guy. And then you'd see him, like, waddle away, and you're like, oh, my God, that guy's a Guinness Book of World Records.
He boxed at 147 pounds. You ever see the picture of him when he was 147 pounder?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Like his late teens in New York.
I mean,
he was like sexy guy, 147 pounds. I think he got his heart broke or something like that.
I've been depressed. You know, that'll do it. I've been depressed and I put on weight. Like, I got up to close to 320 or like early this year, but I'm down to like 277
now.
You're
tall,
but I'm like 320. I was like, to my friend, I was like big and I looked fat relative to what people knew. And then I'm like, how are these motherfuckers like 5'10, 450? Yeah. Like, I feel bad because you've got it. It's mental. It's mental at that point. It's not like you just
see him in the gym every day.
This is Big Pun as a thin man.
Whoa.
Not even the same. It looks like Christopher Williams.
I'll be sure.
He looks like I'll be sure. He looks like I'll be sure. A Christopher Williams. More like Christopher Williams, but it's insane. He was a handsome, he was a sexy guy. It was insane.
This says 1990. When did he? 99 was when he became kind of famous.
Well,
that's a long 9 years.
Nine years. When now Fat Joe is real. I don't want to say he's real lean. He's still big, but he's lost a lot of weight.
He's got that bad, but like he's got that. He'll always look like a skinny fat, like Chris Gatling,
skinny
like
fat,
skinny arms, and like still got like a trunk that looks.
He's lost
athletic.
A lot of weight, and I think that scared the shit out of him. Like, oh shit, I can die. Him and Heavy D was like, wait a minute.
But you've seen videos of Heavy D. Like, you look now, if you look at Heavy D, you're like, I mean, I guess he was big for like when we were skinnier people, but you wouldn't think like unhealthy.
Like he was unhealthy. He was, you know why? Because he was dynamic. That's one thing. I whenever I watched Heavy D, I was like, oh, I want to be like that on stage because he was so dynamic.
Right.
You know, he danced and he would move and he was just
a lot
so
of pelvic thrusting.
Yeah. Well, not so much. No, you know what? There was not a lot of pelvic thrusting out of him. There was a lot of footwork because he was just dynamic. And he danced and stuff. So you think, oh, I mean, he's a big dude, but he's light on his feet.
Sure.
You know?
Nobody moved like Hammer, though. I forgot. No. That dude.
Hammer's a pure athlete.
Wow. I mean, that, like.
He's a pure athlete.
He was going, like, he was, like, a fitness video before fitness videos became big. Like, he was 2 hours of, like, sprinting in place.
He's a pure athlete. Hammer was a pure athlete. Way more than even guys like Kid and Play who dance a lot. Not like Hammer.
Because Hammer was in sprint mode like for an entire concert.
Not like Hammer.
He must have been on coke or something.
I think he just amped up, man.
He might have just been on the Lord.
Yeah.
High on the Lord.
Yep, too legit.
He did have a song. That was his thing.
He always had a church song.
On every album, he was going to have one song about God or Jesus.
Pray. Yeah, I loved pray.
Pray.
That's why we pray. Pray. Well, we have JL here. I said we were going to get into this. What are the rules legally as far as talking to a police officer? Do they vary state to state?
when you say talking to a
police officer? Police officer approaches you and says,
give me your ID.
Give me your ID. Do those rules vary state to state, or can you say, why, and just keep walking?
Technically, like, that's the problem. Technically, you can.
Yeah.
Because there's, and I'm, you know, it's been a while, although I may be studying for a different bar exam soon, but it's been a while since I kind of broke down all the rules.
Yeah.
And since I, you know, I was an assistant DA many years ago, and I've just repressed or eliminated most of that knowledge. But there's like a sliding scale in terms of what the suspicion is and what the cop can do, because they have to basically retroactively articulate what their suspicion was. So if they, you know, and obviously you can make stuff up at, in
that's
hindsight.
That's the problem.
Yeah. You can say, well, I saw a bulge. You know, you can always go with the I saw a bulge, and furtive movements is a very big thing that police say. That's like, that's textbook, like furtive movements meaning, well, he was acting suspiciously and I saw a bulge in his pocket. So I said, okay, now you have to stop, sir. I have reason to, you know.
That's how stop and frisk works.
Right.
I just saw a bulge.
Although stop and frisk, one of the problems was really that it was like not any of that. It was just like, let's just stop people.
Yeah.
And the thing is.
But then you can retroactively go back and say.
Right.
Oh, well, he had a bulge in his pocket.
Right.
He was looking around. He was looking around suspiciously.
Dick, man.
Yeah. It's there. And I wish I still knew the, I'm sure I have notes somewhere, but like the tiers of like. You don't, if a cop says, hey, sir, can I talk to you for a second? Maybe they just want information. Like, maybe they just, they're looking for witnesses. Like, anyway, you don't have to stop. Most people, and the reason, like, in the past, the Supreme Court would pass kind of decisions favoring citizens over law enforcement, which has now shifted.
Yes.
Because they understand a cop in a uniform to the average citizen bears authority.
Yeah.
So you have to give extra protection because you know the psychology of a person is to give that person what they want, because you just are like, well, that's a cop. Like, why would I say, fuck, like, no.
Right.
Even though you could. Like, if a cop stopped me on the street, sir, can I ask you a question? And I'd go, I wouldn't say no, but it's technically in my rights to go, no.
No, and just keep walking.
Yeah. Now, the trick there is, like, if they're looking for, you know, a 6'5" rapist, and I go, no, then does that somehow, are they able to articulate that then makes
that's
me
suspicious.
Suspicious, like, oh, maybe this is the guy.
Yeah.
Now I get to raise it to like a tier two, like where I now can like, I can't frisk him, but I can detain him for further questioning or something like that.
Yeah,
and I'm forgetting obviously the tiers, at least according to New York, but it, you know, it's that kind of sliding scale.
Yes. And
well,
I say that
can they make that up? Like someone
I'm
said
sure
that
because
a cop could, I guess, say some other guy walked up to me on the street and said some 6'5" guy just raped a girl over there. And so there doesn't have to be a call for that, right? A cop can just kind of manufacture the whole thing.
I guess you could, although it'd be then, you know, they might, you probably don't want to manufacture something like that, because then they'd say, well, did you get the information of the person who told you this? That would be information that
then he ran away.
Well, right. Like, and then that would bear further investigating.
Right.
And then, you know, if you're a good defense lawyer, you're like, we're supposed to take the word of this cop who can't provide a name, can't provide a description, can't provide any information on this alleged informant. And there was a case I remember that like an anonymous phone call was not good enough reason, because there was like, it was in Florida state. It was actually, I think it was Florida versus JL. That's why I remember the case.
The whole state.
But some guy called a cop and said, there's a guy in a flannel shirt on this corner and he's got a gun.
And Biggie?
Yeah. So the cop went to the corner, the guy was there. And then they frisked him, and he had a gun. And I believe that wasn't enough information. Like, the cop didn't have enough information to just go accost a citizen, even though it turned out to be right in terms of setting precedent.
Yeah, well,
because then
precedent?
you'd have a nation of people. You could just go, oh, look at that motherfucker walking with his water bottle.
Yeah.
There's a chubby black guy walking on 2900 whatever street with a water bottle. He's got a gun.
And you're just using the cops then to fuck with people.
Right. Like, that's not enough. Like, if I'm a known informant, if I'm somebody that the cops have a relationship with and I've proven advice, now that's different. But, like, anonymous phone calls that just say random facts are not enough for a cop to just go randomly running down citizens.
Yeah,
that kind of.
Yeah, but I say that because this guy, this St. Paul dude, I know you know that story. He was basically just sitting on a bench waiting for his children, and he got arrested. You know that story?
I hate to sound cynical, but it's like
there's so many.
My Facebook feed is now like becoming
anti-cop.
I really don't care about anti-cop. The people I hate are the people who respond by being pro-cop in light of this stuff. It's like just like the people who have to become pro-gun right after a shooting. Like, like, let's not mourn or reflect. Let's just immediately get back on our sides and double down.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, no. I mean, there's so many – I'm sorry. There's so many fucking racist people on Facebook. It's the new racism, but it's that – black teen gets shot. I'm going to try. I said it on my podcast. It's like if Al Sharpton's a douche is your best argument as to why Brown is like deserved to die, then you're then you're an asshole and you don't like black people. Just just say that.
I got into it with this girl one time on Richie Alexandro's thread about she said this was during Trayvon. She was like, well, Al Sharpton shouldn't be there. He's just stirring up trouble. I said, well, what exactly trouble is he stirring up?
Yeah, trouble's been stirred.
Tell me what the trouble is. Well, he's just stirring things up. How? Tell me. Just tell me what he's done. Look, I'll agree with you. If you can tell, if you can give me an example of what Al Sharpton has done to stir this trouble up. But from what I've seen and from what I've heard, and believe me, my ears are much lower to the street than yours. He was calling for restraint. He was calling for peace. He was calling to let the process work its way through. So what is it that he's doing? She had nothing. She ended up cursing at me. And I was like, I'm not going to engage you in this cursingness. I'm not going to engage you in that. And that's fine. But I'm happy that you did this publicly so everybody in this thread can see that you're losing your mind. And I'm just simply asking you to answer questions. She took all her shit down.
Right.
And then Richie blocked her. He was like, yeah, you destroyed her. I was like,
I saw some person post on Facebook who likes my stuff, but you never know what people's political leanings are. But after... You know, there was a story I talked about. It. There were like a bunch of stories. People kept kind of posting three black teens murder white woman.
Right.
No Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson. And it's like because they're not working, whether you think they're hustlers or good people or somewhere in between, they're not working on an individual case by case basis. Just like the Supreme Court doesn't take cases to decide one matter.
Right.
They do it to set precedent. Now, where is a better precedent? The fact that three black guys are in jail for killing a white person, well, the system worked. It's a horrible crime.
Andy said that last week on the podcast.
Yeah, the system worked. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
When a black guy doesn't get justice, whether a black victim or a black criminal or accused criminal doesn't get justice, that's the system.
There's a systemic failure.
In the aggregate, the system is not gaining equal justice for especially young black men versus other segments of the population.
Exactly.
So it's not about like, yes – is anybody going to say, like, there were horrific stories being posted that were true, and I was like, God, that I'm sad I read that article, but it's not a parallel discussion.
Something a black person did, because that's the first thing. They're like, well, look at what this black person did to these white people.
Which means the first thing doesn't exist.
Right. Yeah, and I'm like, well, but that black person who did that horrific thing is in jail.
They're waiting on death row. Like,
so what do you...
It's a horrible crime.
How come Sharpton's not talking about this? Because there's nothing to talk about.
The system sadly worked. The system worked for those victims.
And that's great.
The
system worked the way it was supposed to work.
Here's how people view it, though. A lot of people see it as basically Al Sharpton shows up and riles people. Like, black people have no reason to protest until he shows up.
Exactly.
Gets them all frenzied, right? And so people don't even understand that there's a reason to protest. They just think Al Sharpton showed up and did that, which means Al Sharpton can just, you know, like a conductor, orchestrate black people. And then when the black guy, even if he's on death row,
the Pied Piper of R&B. Yep,
there you go.
And now I'm trying to be rude. I'm about to piss on this girl.
So if that's true, if riling black people up is true to them, then they also think, well, Al Sharpton should tell black people to stop killing other black people too. And even though the guy's got caught on death row or whatever, he should go say, don't do that. And then you'll stop.
Yeah, but the thing about that is, and that's true, he does do that.
Yeah.
When they talk about this thing about, well, what about Chicago? We were talking earlier about Chicago and black-on-black crime. I'm like, yeah, he does do that.
But didn't John Stewart show a great thing that there was like a big summit in Chicago?
Like, he does that. That's especially nowadays, you can easily Google search that, and that shit will pop right up. You need up, you sound up, you can talk, it's okay. We are bare bones here. You can talk.
Perfect, thank you.
You are you can Google search that now.
Yeah.
Like nothing. It's not even hard to find out that type of information. But then you complain, well, how come he's not doing it? I whenever somebody says that in any discussion, black or white, it's mainly white, but there's a segment of black people say that, well, what about this black on black crime? I'm like, well, you're stupid. I'm not going to talk to you now. Now you've been defriended because there's no reason for me to even engage you.
You weren't talking about black on black
crime. Because you didn't check. You didn't check anything.
But it goes both ways. They're going to accuse you of not talking, but they weren't.
Yeah.
It's not like they were out there, you know, looking for allies in that.
Yeah, you weren't at the. You weren't.
They don't
at the
care
marches.
About that. They don't give a fuck. They just want you to throw you off on some other thing, some other straw man.
Yeah, let's pull away from what we're talking about, and let's talk about this nonsense. And by the way, fuck Al Sharpton. Even though I'm like, well, he's doing the thing that you want. What more do you want?
My thing that I brought up when I did my Michael Brown episode, which people liked, but it was, I said, when I remember when we were looking at death penalty stuff in law school, and when the Supreme Court for like 8 years basically banned the death penalty, it's like some 76 to 86 or something, it was like not allowed. They had ruled it unconstitutional. It had been like one of Thurgood Marshall's like great quests to, and one of the things that was fascinating was they said, not only do black, when black people commit murder, they get the death penalty more often than white people.
Of course. But
here was the real kicker, I think, in that case. When black victims are the victim versus white victims, the death penalty is given less when the victims are black.
Oh, yeah, because we don't matter.
And I said, that's the point when you talk about the system and the way there's sort of an ingrained prejudice. It works, like, one way. Like, there's no protest for, like, yes, when these, I mean, there were crimes that I was seeing posted, and I would read them, and I'd be like, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. I hope these people are, and I'm not for the death penalty, but I was like, God help the families of these victims. You know, it was like this story from Tennessee. Of course, it was from 2007. Like, but Glenn Beck brought it up because there was an appeal. Like, he brought it up in 2013.
Yeah.
So I thought it was like a new story. I was like, wow, where is this story? This is the worst thing I've ever heard. Oh, it's still the most horrific thing I've ever read. It was like,
but it was years ago.
These four black guys and one black woman in Tennessee kidnap this young white couple. It's like, it's a racist worst nightmare and biggest fantasy for this to be true. They rape the guy.
The guy
repeatedly in front of the girlfriend and then set him on fire. And then the woman's left alive. She gets, in according to the article, raped in all sorts of manners. Then they realize that her DNA was there. So I guess they'd made her, you know, fucking take it in the mouth or something. They pour like a bottle of bleach down her throat.
Ugh.
And then wrap her up in plastic where she suffocated. I'm reading this going, I'm so mad I just read this. This is the worst thing I've ever heard. I hope these animals were fucking murdered brutally.
But like, all those people got caught, right?
Yes.
So
that was my point. It was like, but
so what are you talking about?
What would Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson or whoever you label a race hustler, because that's the new new term.
Yeah, yeah.
What would they do? Condemn a horrific, that's like
horrific criminals?
A horrific crime. No one's out there going, these guys aren't getting a fair shake.
They should get off.
No, nobody is saying this is a product of society or the system making these. These people are disgusting animals, and they're not fit to walk the earth.
Yeah,
so it gets extrapolated. It's not these people. It's black people.
Yeah.
And Al Sharpton has control of black people.
Right.
So he should tell all black people not to do this because a few people.
And why
did
he speak out on this? This doesn't need speaking out on. If you have to speak out on this, you're an idiot. It's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. So, and
the worst.
They're done.
But literally, that was the worst thing I've ever read that happened in real life. I was like bothered for like days.
Yeah.
It was worse than when the mountain crushed that dude's skull on Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Like,
you know why? Because that's not real.
Yeah,
this shit is real.
The sound effects felt really real.
Where's Al Sharpton with the mountain?
With the mountain. His tooth was out of his head.
But that was one of those things where I said, okay, now that you've distracted me with this horrible story that like bothers me, let's get back to the reason you brought it up, which was to say, if Al Sharpton's defending Michael Brown, why isn't he defending these people? Because the state of Tennessee just defended these people to the full extent of the law.
Right.
And won. Done.
Yeah.
But then Glenn Beck was bringing it up because apparently the judge was high on coke, so like some of the cases are being retried.
Jeez.
But I'm like,
what's going
they're
on
not going to get away.
But I'm like, they're not getting away. Like, and that doesn't mean that the system is not protecting, you know, and Glenn Beck was suggesting like this is the sort of justice that these, meaning like these young white people in our liberal society are getting this.
Yes.
Well,
because of Obama.
If the judge was on coke, there should be a retrial, but then he'll be convicted again.
Well, you know what? The judge might have needed a little bump to get through this fucking trial of dealing with these fucking, this horrific thing. Jesus Christ.
Right. But even in seriousness, like if the judge, like, yeah. for our system to work, that case should be thrown out. It doesn't mean they're acquitted. It doesn't mean they go free. You retry it and they get life or death, and and we're done with that again. But there's no miscarriage of justice. That's just a tragedy. That's a human tragedy, but that is not a miscarriage of justice or a system working against white people.
No, but they will tell you that. Like somehow the system is flawed against white people, even though the system worked perfectly.
You'll hear things like welfare and like our system's doing too much for these people already.
Well, and also it's oh, you guys are outraged? We're gonna be outraged. Like, we need something to be mad at. You guys can't be mad at shit. So we're gonna turn something around and be mad because we have to own that too.
I'm sorry. What I meant, I brought that whole long story up. This woman on Facebook who, like I said, you don't know who the people are. Oh, you're a comedy fan or a comedian. Okay, fine. I'm no problem. It's another pair of eyes on my shit. But she wrote, they, when posting either that article or a different article, see when we are killed, it's amazing that we don't loot our own stores and riot. And I was just like,
should have dumped her.
I know. But I was, I have a hard time doing it because I want to, like, I almost want to see it. Yeah. I like want to know it's there.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
And I was just like, when they and we, and I think Black Guy Who Tips may have made this point. I don't know if he heard it somewhere, if it was in his own tweet, but I remember from his account he had said or posted, it's a problem when you look at St. Louis and you see it as a black problem, not an American problem. You've already separated it. It's already a black thing.
Yeah.
And like we discussed with all the, you know, the libertarian community.
Yeah.
And it was funny. I did write about Ron Paul, and then 3 hours later, not saying.
Yeah, you called it.
But I said, like, at 9 a.m.
Yes, heaven sent.
I said at 9 a.m., where are the Ron Pauls of the world who are always decrying this exact shit?
Right.
In so many ways.
Where's the NRA?
Where are these people? And then he did write that thing in Time, which I thought was very smart.
NRA hasn't.
Right. But I thought it was very smart of him.
Hillary Clinton didn't say shit about it until 2 days ago.
Yeah.
She ran from people when they asked her about it. And you want to be president?
Yeah. But Ron, I mean, Rand, I'm saying, I think I said Ron. Rand Paul.
Yeah.
I said this is a perfect issue for him because it will show principle. He's separating from his base, you know, some of that Republican base that, you know, thinks Michael Brown is a gangbanging hoodlum.
Yeah.
Hoodlum.
But I think, and he made an explicit point of saying, and I think whoever wrote it for him or worked with him on it was smart because he made an explicit mention of race in our criminal justice system, because he could have easily gone with the pure libertarian drug laws are bad and militarization is bad. And I'm not talking about race. Don't get scared, of the Republican Party. Yeah. But he actually did explicitly say it. And I thought it was a very smart move for him. It will cost him the primary.
Of course.
But
well, he wasn't going to win the primary.
But he could honestly be a 20% third party candidate, like a Ross Perot.
He wouldn't get elected, though, because
he could fuck it up for the Republican Party, though.
He's going to do that. But when he starts talking, he'll throw in some sort of crazy thing, and you'd be like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
Which is what usually happens when people from the fringe, call him the fringe. He's really not the fringe. I mean, the guy's been a congressman for years or senator. What is he, a congressman?
Senator. His father was in Congress a long time.
Congressman, yeah. You know, they usually say something that you're like, oh, seriously, you don't believe the civil rights should have happened?
Right.
People bubble up this like 2 years before an election all the time. And then they just go away. You know, there's always a guy who's like, oh, this is making some noise. And then
I think he is going to run, and I think he's not going to be the president. But I think he honestly could have a Ross Perot-like effect if he goes for the general election.
He'll destroy the Republicans.
Because he will take 5% of the Democrats, and he will take 29% of the Republicans.
He'll destroy the Republicans, and that'll be that.
Because I don't even know who they're going to run.
They don't know. That's why you don't know.
Rubio.
To be truthful, I honestly think the scariest thing for the Democrats is Jeb Bush.
If they run Rubio, they lose all. I don't want to say all. They lose a large portion of Hispanic votes.
No, but his name is Hispanic.
Done.
No, but his name is Marco Rubio.
Done.
That's all. He's brown.
And he's kind of he feels a little empty. He feels like an empty suit.
A little bit, yeah.
You know, kind of like he
is.
He
fresh
is.
Fresh face. Yeah.
Like, I like the guy on Alpha House better, the Latin the Latin senator on Alpha House, the Amazon show.
If Jeb Bush, if they do Jeb, because he'll be a blank slate kind of guy.
Jeb Bush should scare Democrats. I know he's got the Bush name, right, but that's going to rally a lot of people. And to be honest, motherfucker's got a Spanish wife, mm-hmm, handsome Spanish son.
Mm-hmm. He probably speaks Spanish.
He's much more new. He's sharper than his brother, and he's been a governor of an important state. And he's a legitimate candidate, like he's legit. Like whether you
he'll have to in order to win that thing, he'll have to start saying crazy shit.
But I don't
unless he can beat him back.
But he hasn't been doing that. That's the, like,
because he ain't thinking about running.
But I think he is.
You know,
I
what happens? They tack right in the primary, and then they try to tack back to the center.
But the thing is, he honestly has the advantage of being, he's the brother of the guy the far right likes.
Right.
So he's got that name. Like, he may not have to go, this, like, he probably has the standard pro-life kind of, but you're not going to boo his Latin wife when he's on stage. Like, you're not going to be like, boo, get her off, illegal.
No. You know, he was supposed to be the one.
Yes.
And now they're kind of looking at the Latin son as the one, George P. Bush,
yeah,
who just won his first little uncontested
dog catcher in Texas or something.
Texas, right. Yeah, to kind of get his foot in the door, basically. So this guy in St. Paul, they violently arrest a black man for sitting on a bench waiting for
his kid. I got
the video
up if you want to see it.
Yeah, let's go. I haven't seen it, but I really didn't want to watch it because
it starts in the middle. He's walking with a cop next to him. So, but
Before you play it though, what I feel like may happen with this, and I think it's dangerous because of the way the internet works and the flooding of everything. I hate to say this, but I feel like I'm even becoming desensitized to it in this brief amount of time. And I think it's going to happen with a lot of people where you're like, okay, five new videos today of black man being harassed by cops. And then you start to you don't want to say so what, but eventually I can't have my whole day.
You get fatigued by
just being like, then it becomes, sadly, it will become even oddly more normal. Like, we'll be aware of it and it will be like,
it'll become like when the black person says, you know, I get fucked with a lot, and people are like, come on. It'll become like that.
No, you don't.
Yeah, it'll become like that. Like the video, well, he must have been doing something.
That Eric Garner video, like the people who talk about that, like, that dude has his, like, knee on his face into the pavement.
It's horrific.
And the dude, I get nervous when I think of that because I'm like, I'm a big person. So what if like a cop wants to mess with me?
Three of them are going to jump you.
Like,
because you're a weapon.
They can just be weapon. Like, he's too big. Like, we're going to just take him down. He was that. I'm sorry. That video is bad.
It's like, horrific, man.
Because it never looks to the common eye, to the plain eye. It never looks like he's like threatening or like it never looks aggressive.
He was just talking loud.
Yeah,
that's aggressive.
And then people, having worked for the DA's office and knowing it, seeing rap sheets of people, it's like, oh my God, look at this. You get a thick rap sheet, and then you realize, oh, it's 42 arrests for marijuana, and that's not a whether he might have a long criminal, but this is not rape and burglary and assault.
Selling cigarettes.
So like,
well, that's what the right sold though. Yeah, but he sells cigarettes.
And it's
cigarettes?
The 31 arrests. See, that sounds like a horrible career criminal, but I know better. Now, may have had a youthful assault or something on his record, sure. But like, I'm going to tell you right now, I guarantee you the majority of those cases were selling untaxed cigarettes, which is not violent at all.
A nickel and dime crime.
Yeah. So it's like, and it's not even like a petty theft. It's like, oh, these are illegal cigarettes. Yeah,
there's a reason why there's 31 and he's still walking the street. You know what I mean?
Oh, if he's such a hardened villain.
It's nothing.
And
he's still walking the street. It's nothing.
But watching that video, I was just like, it's gross because you're like, wow, they jumped on this dude just because he was big. Like, they were like, why take chances?
Right.
And then you think to yourself, and the same thing with Trayvon Martin. I remember my brother saying to me, he's like, you know, he was like, I get nervous for you because I'm like, if some guy wants to pick a fight with you or like you, you know, somebody could pick a fight with me if they want to shoot me. And then maybe I start punching them and I'm winning. And then they go, I'm scared.
Right.
Pow. Yeah. Right. I called my mother yesterday to wish her happy birthday. I put this on Facebook. I called my mother yesterday to wish her happy birthday. You know what she did? She spent most of that conversation rehaving the talk with me. Just rehaving the talk with me. You know how shitty that makes me feel that my mother has to still at 75 worry that one of her sons might get gunned down in the street by a cop because in her words, look, I know you got a mouth and I know you don't like if somebody is saying something to you and you don't like it. I know you're quick to say something back and I'm happy that you're like that and that's the right way to you. But if these police say something to you, son, don't please don't say, I don't want to get that call. This is my mother telling me this, my 75-year-old mother. I call her to wish her a happy birthday. 4 seconds into the conversation, we're having this talk.
See, my mom handled it right. She was just like, make my kids white looking.
There you go.
white enough.
There you go.
Because people talk about white privilege, and I'm like, I see it. I'm a big, angry dude with a black dad, but I don't.
Yeah.
I get treated by most people, like I'm not, whether they think I'm white or not, I get treated like I'm not a harmful race, I'm not a threatening race. Whether they think I'm.
It's a sliding
Middle
scale.
Middle Eastern. Or,
it's a sliding scale.
Yeah. I don't look like a – maybe I look more threatening in an airport than I do on the streets.
The other day, that liquor store right there, I got carded in there. I get carded literally – I go to the liquor store maybe 3 times a month I'll get carded.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in there. I just walked in. Matter of fact, when we left the podcast, last time we recorded here, I walk in there. I said, let me buy something. And the lady's like, can I see your ID? I literally start laughing. I'm like, for what? So she takes it.
Let me see your ID.
I didn't say anything. She takes it and scans it. And then she goes, oh, you don't look your age. I said, you know what? That's probably true for you. Okay, fine. I don't look my age. But here's what I don't look. 21. I haven't looked 21 in probably 20 years.
Right.
Look at my eyes. Okay, so then as a black man, you have to think, are you fucking with me because I'm black? Right. Is that why you're fucking with me? Are you fucking with me because I'm black? Are you fucking with me because there's some sort of weird law and you feel like you can't just have some fucking common sense about you and be like, motherfucker, take the booze.
But it could be that, or it could be racial.
Exactly.
But the white privilege, you
don't have that.
You as Andy, you don't have to think about that at all.
I just think, they must be zero tolerance on these IDs.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or they must have just gotten busted.
Yeah, and
then there's somebody
happening. I'm like, come on.
And then there's somebody like Andy, not Andy, but somebody like Andy, ready to tell you, dude, that happens to me too. No. What are you talking about?
Does it? Does it?
You know, when I had long hair, I got followed around stores.
Do you? Because when I wear a suit, I get followed around stores. That doesn't really happen. Show them the video.
Here's the video. This picks up after he has gotten up. He's walking with a female cop, talking to her, or she's trying to get information out of him. Watch it not play.
I want to find out who you are and what the problem was.
There is no problem. That's the thing.
So talk to me. Let me know.
And let you know.
You can be on your way.
Why do I have to let you know who I am? Who I am isn't the problem.
Because that's what police do when they get called.
Well, I don't have to let you. People. Well, I know my rights first.
Story is some security guard called the cops because he was in an area the guard didn't want him in, basically, at this mall. It came out later that they thought he was in an employee-only area. Whatever the case, he's gotten up and left that area. But the cops just came to the ball.
Secondly, I don't have to let you know who I am if I haven't broken any laws. I told him, I'm going to New Horizons to pick up my kids at 10 o'clock. I was sitting there for 10 minutes. Like, not before he walked up to me.
You're inside a mall.
He walked up to me a minute after and got irate with me. So first off, that's a public area. And if there's no sign that doesn't say this is a private area, you can't sit here, so no one can tell me I can't sit here. If that's the case, then I can't sit here. The problem is I'm black. That's the problem. No,
he's
it really
right.
is, because I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not sitting there with a group of people. I'm sitting there by myself, not causing a problem with anyone. There isn't a sign that says this is a private area, you can't sit here. Therefore, you cannot tell me I can't sit there if I'm not doing anything wrong. What's going on, brother?
What's going on?
I got to go get my kids. No. Please don't touch me. Please don't touch me.
You're going to go to jail then.
No, wait.
You're going to go to jail.
I'm not doing anything wrong.
Hold on.
Can you please? Come on, brother.
I'm not here to argue.
I'm
not your brother.
This is assault.
Can you please? I'm not your brother.
I'm not here to argue with you.
Wrong, sir.
Put your hands behind your back.
No, can you please not do this?
Put your hands behind your back.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Put your hands behind your back.
Come on, really? I got to go get my kids.
Put your hands behind your back, otherwise it's going to get ugly.
What do you need from me?
I told you.
I haven't done anything wrong. I told you what I wanted initially.
And
now she's flexing because the guy's there.
Yeah.
You know she wasn't flexing before.
I haven't done anything wrong. Please, no, don't do this. Please,
put your hands behind your back.
Put your hands behind your back.
I haven't done
anything wrong. Can somebody help me? That's my kids right there. My kids
person right there.
Yeah, put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back.
You're choking me. I have asthma, sir.
Well, you're going to get tased.
I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything.
You're
going to
get tased.
See, you had her. Look at jail. Jail.
No, I'm not doing anything.
You're
not doing anything. Stop, please. Someone help me. Someone please help me. Please help me. Please. Please help me.
No one's going to help you, by the way. That's another thing.
Well, they can't. They're not going to jump in and pull
cops
away.
Yes, actually, they can. The whole community can say, get off that man. The community can do that. The reason why the community can do that is because the police work for the community. But no one's going to do that.
I don't think it would have any effect.
It's the same thing with comics who are willing to just roll over. I say this all the time. The community is just willing to roll over to police. There's huge sections of the community, one, who support police no matter what they do. That man didn't do anything.
We're only halfway through the video. The rest of it is
him screaming the house. Just turn it off.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to. It was game. That's uncomfortable.
He didn't do anything. It's very uncomfortable because it could happen to me and you. It's not going to happen to Andy.
It probably won't happen to me.
Yeah, it may not.
I know
it's,
what I...
It's 50-50. it's distinctly possible that
it
happened.
It might just happen to me because I might actually be like acting angry and cruelly.
The way he's talking is what my mother's worried about when she calls me and talks to me. Because I'm that guy. I'm like, I'm not doing anything. So, no, I'm not showing you my ID. Because I don't have to.
Right.
And I said in another podcast before, it's the Matt Damon. It's the Matt Damon from Good Will Hunting. Why did I take the wrench? Because fuck him.
Right.
That's why. I don't have to.
Well, there's a whole,
and I don't like showing compliance for no reason at all.
It's a whole
I'm not a slave.
Of
I'm a
YouTube
grown man.
Videos. There's a whole this whole movement of knowing your rights and stuff. There's a whole bunch of videos on YouTube with dudes in cars going through police checkpoints.
Jerry Seinfeld's series?
Dudes in cars getting
going
coffee.
Through checkpoints.
Going through checkpoints. And they're all white. But they all come up to the checkpoint, and the cops ask them questions. And they're all like, am I being detained? Am I being arrested? And like they're saying the shit that they read on the internet, and the cops eventually let them go. Like, they never get arrested. There's a whole bunch of videos. Like, I just typed in how talking to cops, and it filled in talking to cops like a boss, because that there's a video called that. And it's just white dudes going, I know my rights. I don't have to roll my window down any more than 3 inches.
But you can't tell a white
questions.
Person that you have that they have privilege. They just refuse to believe it. I don't have any privilege. You don't have to worry about this. First of all, that woman cop, that cunt, and I'm going to tell you why I said that. That cunt was so nice and so
she's
sweet.
She's a woman. Oh, you
so
mean there's
nice
another reason to call her that?
Well, there you go. She's so nice and so sweet. And then the minute the big guy walks up, her she completely starts flexing and changing.
Yeah, it was that was real bad.
And she was like, I tried to tell you.
Yeah,
no, you didn't.
That cunt.
You were listening.
He doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to. They don't have. They police rule through fear and intimidation. It's not. Well, we're here to protect and serve, particularly when it comes to black males.
Well,
it's fear and intimidation.
And like they say with,
And look at his face. So you know what she saw. When she saw him, he's a drug user, because he's got dreads and a beard.
Right.
I have a goatee, and I'm bald. I wear hoodies all the time in the winter. Right. You wear hoodies. I wear hoodies. According to Geraldo, it don't matter to you. You got that white skin.
I have a hoodie.
According to Geraldo. We're dangerous. We should take the hoodie off because it's the hoodie that's the problem.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's that was pretty disturbing.
It should be, and they're going to get away with it. I think they had some follow up stories.
What happened was that happened in January, and the reason it just got posted is because he just got his phone back. They charged him with like resisting and disorderly, you know, whatever the vague charges.
All charges were dropped.
And then he finally got his phone back, so he posted the video. And then the cops were like, well, we haven't received any formal complaints, so we don't investigate anything. There's not a formal complaint because he hadn't formally complained. So now he's in the process of like filing a suit, like a civil suit against him. So it's still ongoing. But they never like looked into that to see if they fucked up in any way.
Yeah, so this is what you're telling me. As a black man, he tells the officer, first off, that's a public area, and there's no sign that says this is a private area. You can't sit here. So I can't just sit down. I can't do that. As a kid, I've been rousted a lot. Mm-hmm. Back home, if we would stand together in a mall, there were signs, you can't stand more than three people together in this mall. You know, the subset underneath that was, if you're black or Mexican.
Hey, when I was skateboarding, they made us move.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. And that's what, and here comes the white guy. Well, when I was doing this thing that shouldn't be done in this area, they made me stop doing that. What were you doing? Standing.
Right.
Standing.
I think I was just lucky. I mean lucky on several respects.
You didn't grow up in the South.
But I was just a very homework in the library, go home. I didn't do shit. But I was never in a place where my look varies, but I'm never really confused. I'm never confused for a black male. So I you know, I'm physically threatening, but I'm never, that's what's funny. Is that I'm actually physically threatening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yet, if I was half my size, but had two black parents, society would have me as more threatening.
Do you call yourself like Wentworth? You know Wentworth, the actor Wentworth, who just came out as gay? Light-skinned dude, Wentworth.
Do you call yourself gay?
Miller? Sometimes. Yeah, you call yourself gay? You call yourself black? Do you self-identify as black?
I identify as mixed. I say, because that's... I really don't. It's funny. And I, when I was looking at your daughter, I remember I was looking at on the subway a few weeks ago, and I always find it fascinating. There's a white woman mm-hmm. with a clearly mixed race daughter. And it was just I'm fascinated. I mean, I'm kind of like this where you don't look like either parent and yet they look at you and you're their child. Like, mm-hmm. I find that to be just an amazing thing. It's like, I'm not the spitting image of either mm-hmm. of my parents, just like my brother isn't, but like, it's like that's their kid.
Mine looks like my wife, except she has freckles like me.
Okay.
She looks like my wife. So I always tell people, what's your wife look like? A bigger, wider version of that.
Well, so for you, but your experience, instead of her, like now you're the dad who's like, that's my girl, mm-hmm. even though she looks like the other parent. Like, but that's me. That's,
yeah.
And I always find that kind of fascinating. But I've always just, because I look like a Puerto Rican baby with my white mom growing up, and then my dad, you know, is like medium tone black
guy. Yeah,
he's
light-skinned. He's Haitian.
He's but he's like, I mean, I joke, I say
some
he's Morgan.
Haitians don't like to call themselves black. They don't like to think of...
Oh no, he's black. Yeah, and he's not like down with
he's not like that Haitian thing of his favorite, I'm not African American black.
Well, he does say that, but he says I'm black.
Yeah.
But he does. He had one of my favorite lines to one of my friends is when my dad said, "Dominicans, so stupid, darker than me, and say they're not black."
He's right.
Yeah, look at you telling me Big Poppy is not black. That dude's black.
He's black.
But that's Spanish. That's black. That. The closer you are to the Europe in your language or whatever, you're Latin. Yeah. You are not black. Yeah. Even though Big Poppy.
You ever looked at a Portuguese woman's ass? And then they tell you, oh, there's no black in me. Are you serious with that big ass you're carrying around? Nelly Furtado, really?
If you looked at Big Poppy just walking down the street.
Oh, he's a black
man. That's a black man. Very black man. I'm not just talking dark. That's Yaphet Kotto. That's a bigger Yaphet Kotto.
Yaphet Kotto was the blackest man for a long time until Bill Duke came and took his title.
So black he had like the bloodshot. They both had that bloodshot
eyes.
Like they're trying to be 110% black. So it's like bringing the blood out.
Until Bill Duke came, it was Yaphet Kotto. Yeah, look that name up, Yaphet Kotto, YAPHETKOTTO, and tell me that's not the blackest motherfucker you've ever seen in your life.
But I think my brother's married to a black woman, and I always joke with him and with other people. I say he's like one click. He like spent 5 more minutes in the oven than me.
Yeah.
The hair's a little thick. Like he's got that Derek Jeter kind of net.
Yeah.
Like
that, right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Real hybrid.
Yeah, you got to keep it low down. You got to keep it low because if it starts to get too big, it can get unreasonable.
Right. So he's got that kind of hair, a little bit broader nose, and he's married to a black woman. So I think he kind of identifies a little bit more.
A little more black.
Whereas I'm always just like, I'm neither. I'm both.
Did
like,
he have a different experience than you growing up, do you think? Because in the black community, the darker you are, you have a completely different experience than lighter people. I know I'm lighter,
but
and I know exactly what it is, and I dislike it immensely.
Well, my brother's light enough where it's almost, I hate to say this, but like, oh yeah, he's half black. Like it's almost like you just get credit. It's like, oh, he's like undercut, like almost like you know he's some kind of ethnic.
Right.
But like, so it's almost like the both of us have always been like, black people have almost always been more accepting. Because white people, it feels like you just unveiled a secret you should have told them up front too.
Yeah.
They're like, you're not, what? You're half black.
I trusted you.
And I joke, I'll say to people on stage, I'll be like, that's right. Remember that racist shit you told me in the bathroom and you thought I was white?
Yeah.
Just to fuck with them? But it's that kind of thing. Whereas black people have always just been like, there's like an automatic like, oh, cool.
It's funny you should say that because the comic I dislike most of all is the black comic who says, I'm not accepted by black people. Because I'm always suspicious of that, because I know through my experiences how accepting black people are of, even if they think you're a little bit black,
yeah,
they welcome you in.
Yeah.
You know, they welcome you in, even if you're just, because there's not that many of us.
Right.
So it's always been, we went to a family reunion, right? Mm-hmm. Just 2 months ago. Just a white wife, mm-hmm, I just call her black, my half daughter. She had a ball. I'm talking about a ball. All right. Her little cousins, they immediately welcome her in. You one of us. We see that you black, bitch. You ain't.
Right.
Okay. I go around my wife's family. There's a distancing thing there. Not from my immediate,
right,
my mother-in-law, my father-in-law,
right,
or my sister-in-law. Not from them. Not at all. From their extended people. There's a distancing thing. So I'm always like, if somebody says something wrong to my daughter, I'm going to kick the shit out of somebody,
right,
in this fucking house.
Right.
So I've been on hearing any comments about her hair. I've been on hearing any stupid shit about her skin. I've been on hearing any stupid shit about her. I don't mind you say it about me.
Yeah.
I can handle it. But if you say it about, oh, look at her little half-breed hair, I'm going to punch you in your fucking face. But a black person would
Note
never
to
say
self,
that.
Don't, yeah, call his daughter a half-breed.
Of all the things to call her.
You might get away with it.
Well, like, I can do that.
She's
I'm
one of them. She's like me.
My nephew.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
We are very inviting.
No, there's very, like, and I've seen it from school, like, you know, going to, like, elite private schools. Like, yeah, there is a very, like, come on. And I, to be honest, I was always self-conscious about, like, joining groups. Because most of my friends growing up were white. I went to a private school. Most of my friends were white, and I was always like, I had plenty of black friends, but it was like I always felt weird.
Yeah.
Like, because I just kind of liked being my thing. Like I don't know if that's sad, but that was just my.
Well, with black people, there's a big groupthink thing, which I don't like. Like when Erykah Badu came out, and everybody was like, Erykah Badu is so pretty. I'm like, she's all right,
but it was.
But you have to like her.
But to be honest, I think part of what oh, look at that. There's a mixed race couple right there.
Of course.
Arlington.
He can do better for himself. Come on.
Well, she's not fat.
Yeah, but she's kind of, you know, he still looks like he's in his prime.
Me and Tim saw.
That's prime meat right there. Yeah. I'm sometimes gay. I don't know if that's, is that another callback?
Me and Tim Miller, our other guy on the podcast, saw a dude Friday night. You weren't here yet. You got here yesterday. This guy walked out of the movie theater. It was a black dude with a fat white woman. And he looked at me and Tim. He looked us dead in the eyes like, oh, shit, you caught me. Like, there was no happiness on his face. He wasn't holding his hand. Look, if you're a brother who likes to date fat white girls, if you walk, you hold her hand and you want, yeah, she mine, so I got nothing to say to you.
Yeah.
But if you're like, you got 3 feet of distance between the two of you and you look at me like, oh, shit, he caught us. I'm like, come on, dude. Come on. Yeah, I caught you, motherfucker. I see you.
What I tell people is I always say, if you're going to date somebody out of your race, date your equivalent in that.
Yeah,
because then you look like you're doing a fetish or something, or like you got issues.
You better date.
If you're a nine as a woman or a man, and you want, don't date like.
You better date another nine.
You better date. It doesn't
First
matter
of all,
what race.
You can.
Right.
So what are you doing?
So don't. Because then
what
you
if
make
you're not
your,
into nines? What
you
if
make you're... your partner look like an experiment that you're doing.
You're into a chubby four. That's just your thing. You know, you have a weird thing going on.
You gotta,
is just a type.
She's a nine.
You can go
on
sideways
my scale of chubby fours.
If you're a nine, right, you can go sideways. Don't go down.
Right.
Eddie,
and if you go too far down,
a comic I really care about had a great joke. This thing. If you're gonna cheat, you better cheat up. Or cheat sideways. You better not cheat down.
But see, that I disagree with, because that's a way not to get away with it. If you cheat up, you make your partner feel insecure. If you cheat down, you might have a problem. Like, right, I've always said, if you want to get away with claiming you have sex addiction, fuck all the hot chicks you want, and then each month you just got to throw in a troll and be like, clearly I have a problem. This is not about sex. I have an issue.
That's funny.
Four Victoria's Secret models and a fat troll.
Yeah.
Clearly I have issues.
Yes. I have issues.
This one time I got fucked a troll. So.
And that's not to say overweight women can't be attractive. There are plenty of overweight women who are attractive. It just depends on what you like. But if you date some,
I don't mind
some overweight,
an overweight
wildebeest,
woman.
Yeah, but she's a wildebeest too.
What I don't
or
want,
overweight, you know, an overweight who's wide with a flat ass. Oh,
right.
God.
There's the solid overweight where it, like,
yeah. Queen Latifah,
big boobs,
solid overweight,
big thighs,
woman.
But it's like
showing like men.
But if it's loose, yeah. And like then it's no. That's I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, not happening.
Not sloppy.
Yeah. Big is doable.
Big and firm.
Sloppy is not doable.
Yeah, right. Like when Queen Latifah made that bad movie with Common, one of the complaints.
Oh, the basketball movie?
Yeah. One of the complaints I heard from white men were, well, he would never date her. Look at her. I'm like, he would date her? She's not a sloppy. She's not a sloppy.
I got mad when she lost. You know when I really liked her? I had a thing for her from like that Bringing Down the House movie to Chicago. Like
yeah,
that phase.
I can see
and then
that.
She got like a reduction because she was like stacked and she's like pretty. She's a, and I'm yeah. and I'm a big I'm 6'7".
Yeah, you're
so
big,
like,
so yeah.
I
it
always
works.
Say I've joked, if I ever fuck a chick that's 200 pounds, I go, yeah, but I still got 80 pounds on her. You're fucking a chick your same weight, man. Why are you in the same weight class as your woman? I'm still fucking a chick much smaller than me.
And you might raise up a linebacker or
yeah.
a basketball or power forward.
Hell yeah.
some big breeding stock woman.
Yeah.
You're a big breeding stock guy. Yeah, this shit, I don't think this shit is ever going to end, man, because people don't want it. They don't want it to. There's, first of all,
people are digging back
I'm
into
talking
their
about
trenches.
The police. Yeah. We're back to talking about the police. There's yeah. there's a whole political party that is devoted to this. So one of the political parties is devoted to this. There's a television network now that is devoted to it that tells the people who think like this that they're right.
Fucking Nickelodeon.
Yeah, it's God always Nickelodeon.
Nick
there's
Jr.
people. There's people like we talked about Anthony Cumbia went on this racist guy's show. He went on this racist guy's show to talk about this. The guy is a racist. According to him, he's not.
Norton, I thought
he's not because he says he's not. I'm not racist.
See, I like Jim Norton a lot, and I think they have a friendship. So he defend. You know, they're
yeah.
friends. You can't
yeah.
separate person. But I thought his defense of him. I mean, was actually pretty well reasoned for a guy who's a friend. Like, he was kind of like, should he have said it? Of course. Like, no.
Yeah.
Do I think it was bad? Yeah. Do I think he said worse shit? And do I think he's like a paranoid dude? Yes. Like, so he was kind of like,
yeah.
I think he was more understanding while still thinking he shouldn't have been fired. But at least I was like, see, Jim Norton, just like his fans, is the best of his fans. Like,
yeah.
his
yeah.
fans are usually much more cretin-like and like rude and vulgar. Whereas I think he actually is a much more thoughtful person.
Well, he's a nuanced, thoughtful guy.
And he's a great, and I think he's a great comic.
Ted Alexandro did his show.
The Vice show?
No, he did the show where it's
Opie
and Jim.
Oh.
Now.
Yeah.
He went on
yeah.
the show to talk about Ferguson. And I couldn't listen because I get mad. So I'm like, let me just not listen. But I called Ted and I said, hey man, tell me about your experience. He was like, well, first of all, I was outnumbered. Let me just right off the bat. Because they are of the mindset, you know, the typical mindset. I don't even have to explain it. They're of that mindset. And Ted was just reading them. And then he took calls and then the Cretans call in. You know what I mean? And Ted was like, I said, me personally, I can't do that. I can't even associate myself with people like that. Like people say, well, you know, you have differences of opinion. I'm like, no, that's a whole worldview
yeah.
that I don't want to know somebody who has that worldview because their worldview affects my life.
Yeah.
So therefore, why would I be in association with somebody? Well, what if you can change one? I think maybe. Okay.
I was just happy that a few of, like, cause I got into it on Twitter. I was happy that when I saw other people I know, because a lot of comics just shut up, and I saw
yeah.
a lot of people not kind of adding Anthony Cumia. So I was like, "Fuck that!" I'm as soon as I got to Twitter, I was like, "At Anthony Cumia, what do you blah blah like?"
Yeah,
like,
what's he saying?
So
yeah.
his fans, you know, cunt, you fuck you, and I'm like, okay. But then a few of his fans were actually, I was like almost refreshed when I had like reasonable discussions, and then you know. I felt like the best I could get out of a fan of his show was I am not defending what he said. I just don't think he should have been fired. And I'm like, you know,
right?
That's fine.
That's fine. And
he
that's
said
reasonable.
Other shit that they didn't fire.
Yeah.
Him for.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. Well, at least we've reached this. At least yeah. like I now know some of you don't think like you know because
yeah.
plenty of the fans were like, yeah, savages. Yeah,
yeah.
pieces of
exactly.
shit.
Yeah.
And
but that's what he thinks.
The pictures.
That's why they
were,
think
the
that.
Pictures were so clear. I mean, like I loved the idea that he was not taking her picture.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And then that And then you could tell the threatening. What, were five black guys laughing at you for getting punched by?
That's
five,
what we all
think. They just appeared.
I think they were like, "This is not." And he was like, "And now they're getting mixed up in the show." Oh, what were they put? Were they, no, they weren't doing anything. They were just
laughing at you,
laughing at you,
and were probably shouting at you, "Fight her back, baby!" You know, laughing at you the whole time.
They're clowning you,
bitch. Hit back,
bitch. Hitting you. What the fuck?
Don't let her get away with that shit. World she got star. Heels on.
World star.
You know, and he got upset about that. These animals, these savages. You don't want getting your ass kicked. By the way, you don't want snuck a creep picture of this girl.
Right.
All that shit, though, with the guy in St. Paul and Anthony. If there's any sliver of plausible deniability to racism, white people will jump on that. He meant savages
that
as in
segment of white people, which is substantial, but not obviously all.
He didn't mean animals like all. He meant animals as people who attack him, or you know, whatever. Yeah. So as long as there's an ounce,
they didn't attack.
Right. That's
him.
Why he was saying the black culture is one of violence.
Right.
Yeah. He was just referring to her as to black. Her name was actually and black culture because they have unique names in
those
that
five black
culture.
Guys who didn't do shit to him.
And when he said how that Civil Rights Act worked out for you, he was talking about specifically for her.
Yeah. Right. It's a. And I love the oh, I can't complain to the cops because slavery.
Right.
Because that's where he was revealing his whole deep worldview, because it was like, wait, no, call the cops.
Call the cops.
We're all for that. If she's hit, go call
the
– why don't –
He can't call the cops because he's taking her picture. That's not fucking – I don't even think – is that legal?
Assault. Yeah, it's legal.
Is that legal?
You're out in public. You have no –
You know, because isn't there like a big thing now of well, there is a shaming whole thing. You think of stop fucking with women. I mean, if you call the cops, if I get there as a cop, black or white, and this woman was assaulting me, really, why was she, man, why did you?
But
he was fucking taking my pick. Okay,
but
buddy, you need to go.
But he still could, I mean, he still could have.
He could have called the cops.
And if he was that upset, like to me, if I was angry enough, if somebody assaulted me, if it was a woman or whatever, I'd call the cops. I'd be like, no, I'm not getting in trouble. Like, you're not getting away with this. Fuck you. Just maybe my misogyny alone would be reason for me to call the cops and get you in trouble.
Yeah.
But like, you're not.
Yeah.
I'm calling the cops. Like, if I'm mad enough to go on an hour long rant and slur, like, you know, racially disparage all black people and like be furious at the world, I'll call the cops.
But that's
before
what
I do that.
That's what it was about, though. It's racially. I mean, he
it was
has
an opportunity.
He has a history of saying racial shit. Maybe for his bosses, they were like, "This is it. We're done.
Right.
I don't want to be associated with this. And I've put up with this long enough. You've made us a lot of money, but now the balances are now to the point where I'm like, I don't want to deal with you anymore." And they're well within their right to do that. They're well within their right to say that. People act like he hasn't said anything like this before. Like this was his first time and this is all in a vacuum. It's not true. He has a long history of saying this.
Right.
His fans agree with him when he says this, or they'll pull a Patrice. And I'm like, Patrice used to bust his ass all the time on racial stuff.
Right.
All the time. Patrice would call him out on racial stuff all the time. I don't understand how a guy like Jim can be friends with a racist. I've never understood that. I don't know.
Because he's – Jim Norton is – I mean, he's got his – he's like, you know, kind of libertarian-ish in his own right. But, like, he's a sharp comic, and he's a relatively insightful guy. And, like, I don't know. It's just weird. I mean, I guess
– I don't like him as a comedian on stage. I like him –
Like his radio stuff?
I like him on radio. I think he's really good.
Okay.
I think he's really, really smart. I think he's a really good writer. He's been writing pieces for Time.
Yeah.
I don't like him on stage as a comedian.
I do. What's weird is, I mean, I don't like every word that comes out of his mouth, but I actually do. He even makes me, when I disagree with him, like when he was talking about, he hates Al Sharpton, obviously.
Yeah.
But when he was talking about being on a flight with Al Sharpton, it was, if you can be objective, it was funny where he's going, have you ever wanted your own plane to crash? And he's going like, striking. And then that's objectively funny. If you take out, like, his opinion. And like, I think he's, but he's one of those guys where I always go, I think Jeselnik one time said he hates lots of his own fans.
Right.
But I remember, like, with Norton, it's like, as soon as you said pussy, you had them, even though they didn't really give a shit about the much more funny part of the joke.
What you're saying.
They were like, you fucking bleeding cunt. He said bleeding cunt.
Dead hooker.
Dead hooker.
AIDS. But, you know, that's throwing the red meat to some of those fans. So, and he can't control that.
Yeah. How long have we been going?
56 or so.
Really, is it? We'll be doing well, man.
58, maybe. You want to talk about the comedian who got banned or kicked
off
stage?
Yeah, let's bring it home with that, because that's right in our alley.
Who got banned?
This guy made a video. He did a college gig. And he did a show at Houston Baptist University.
Famous comedian? Not famous?
Not
do
we, famous.
Do we,
not,
any
not
of us
famous.
Know him?
Not famous. No, I don't
just
know
a guy doing a, just a guy.
What's
doing
his name?
A
do we have a name?
One-niners.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Just in case. You never know.
Samuel J. Comro.
No idea.
Comedian Samuel J. Comro.
Of course, there's a commercial at the beginning of the video. He
of
had
course.
To monetize.
It's a little long, but...
It's coming.
I'm going to start making videos that say, Kitten Crushes Puppy Heckler. Let's see if I can get like 5 billion hits, Gangnam style.
So here he is. Yeah, I don't recognize his face at all.
Looks a little like a Bryson.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Samuel J. Comro. I just got done performing at Houston Baptist University, and now I'm in my hotel room. That's why the lighting is all shitty, because they have like,
sounds like a college comedian.
Unnecessary lamps, and then I put the video in front of the mirror to add a lamp.
Tone down the flavor, Macklemore.
Okay. Well, look.
That was Tourette's syndrome. That's what I have.
Yes, Tourette's.
Yes, Tourette's.
Okay, here's the thing.
So he has things to talk about.
I'm really flustered, so I'm twitching more, like you saw that clip. I'm really frustrated. I just did the show, and it's the craziest, most insane show I've ever done. I've done hundreds and hundreds of colleges, and I've never been, like, more disrespected than tonight. I got to the show 30 minutes before the show. I did the same thing I do before every college show. I say to the administration, what can I talk about? Is there anything that's off limits? They said no cussing. I didn't cuss. Even though that's a crazy thing to do to begin with, when you're doing stand-up comedy, is to be like, hey, what can I not talk about?
But you
the whole
the
point of stand-up comedy is to talk about whatever the fuck you want to talk about. But I did that to be courteous and not, hopefully, not offend people. And I said, even though, by the way, you can get offended by anything, just so you know, I could say I have Tourette's in the beginning of this video, and then some of you can turn it off and be like, no, I don't want to listen to that bullshit. I don't like people with Tourette's. I'm offended by his humor.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you can get offended by literally anything. So I asked the lady, this blonde lady, I don't know her name, or I would,
that's
I
would racist.
For sure 100% say it. And then
Scandinavian
right
tramp.
And I asked her, is there anything I can't talk about?
A scammy.
And she was the one in charge, and she said, just no cussing. And I said, okay, and can I talk about, like, sex? And she was like, yeah, that should be fine. And I was like, yeah, it's nothing, like, vulgar or anything like that. And she said, yeah, that's fine. I made sure.
Now, when you do a college gig, sometimes when you're asking the person, that's just another student who doesn't really know either.
Right.
Sometimes they like, oh, yeah, I guess you can, yeah, I guess that's fine to talk about sex. But whatever, he at least asked.
When I did Holy Cross, the only thing they said was no abortion jokes and no pedophile priest jokes. And I was like, yeah, all right. I wasn't going to make them anyway.
Yeah,
yeah, that's,
all right.
Sure.
They didn't even tell me no bad language.
Which means somebody did those once.
Probably.
They had a story about
crazy or whatever. So that was my computer. Damn it. It did the boo-boo sound. Okay. So,
dude, all the ticks you got.
She said that I did
the
show.
Last thing I'm
about. A half hour into the show, and I start doing a Q&A on stage, which is interactive with the students. One of the students said, how's sex with Tourette's? I'm about to answer the question. The lady, blonde lady, stands up in the back and yells, no, you're not going to answer that question. And then interrupt the whole show. All the students freeze, turn around. It just shuts down everything.
Now, to me, that's a great opportunity to get laughs. If some lady stands up and says, don't answer that, you could ride that a little bit, couldn't you?
Was it that bad, ma'am? Was it that bad earlier with me?
Yeah. Right. I mean, you could make fun of the situation that this whole that was just anything that's weird, you can make fun of how weird it got. But I guess he kind of freaked out a little bit.
But it could be. Sorry, I was just going to say, although, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking, not everybody has to be held to the standard of being like really good on stage. Like
right.
he
also,
might have just
know
been
how
like,
long he's been doing this.
He says he's done a couple hundred college gigs.
I what do you think, 20, 22?
maybe.
That's more than I've done. But
couple hundred. I mean, here's the thing: if you had really done a lot of colleges, you wouldn't need to say I've done a couple hundred colleges. Yeah. You would simply say, "Look, I've done this."
Well, I think he's trying to give as much.
It's also a kind of a donut.
Pause for 45 seconds.
Pause.
Of laughter. Drop the mic. Pick it up. Drop it again.
Possibly punch somebody later.
So she stops and
says,
no,
joke.
You can't answer that. Don't answer that question.
And I was like, yeah, I am going to answer the question because he asked the question. So I'm going to answer it. which is insane that the students are trying to, they're curious about things. They're asking questions, trying to learn, and administration is going to stop them from being educated on Tourette's sex, which everybody should.
Wait.
Administration.
The administration is stopping them from being educated on Tourette's sex.
What I
find, kid wasn't asking for an education.
The problem is, was just asking for some goofy, for you to say some goofy shit.
It was a perfectly, in a comedy setting, though, it was a perfectly acceptable opportunity for humor. To ask a legit question and to almost bump him, give him a set for a joke spike.
Right.
But this is what I hate about a lot of college comics, because instead of being funny, they want an angle and they want to be like, can I be part of your diversity program, or can I be part of your LGBT? That's my angle, so you can get credits with the federal government or something for having me as a speaker.
Right.
So it's
right.
We'll do it. I remember, I don't know Elliot Chang, and there's nothing, no bad story here, but I remember rolling my eyes when Nick Cobb had told me, I don't know if you guys know Nick Cobb.
I don't know personally.
Okay. But a friend of mine, he'd done a show with him. He didn't have anything bad to say, but we were joking about different shit that comics do at colleges, and he was like, yeah, it was 40 minutes of stand-up, and then they loved it because he did a half hour Q&A on diversity, and I was like, ugh.
What does he have to say?
You know what I mean? It's just but that's what they want. You sell
a half hour. Hey, here's the thing. Let's be more diverse. Thank you. Good night.
But you know what I mean? It's let me talk about your experience.
There's a pretense.
It's a feel good. We're really getting to the core of something here. And that's how a lot of these colleges, I think. So when he's talking
me and
about
my
this,
partner.
He probably believes his hype of
I'm educating the masses about Tourette's.
Yes, that's exactly he's
I'm
bought
not
into
here
his own
to do stand up.
You're gonna laugh, but you might learn something.
He's
about
bought
Tourette's.
Into that marketing that he hasn't done 100 colleges because he's selling them this. This will be a great opportunity for the school to look good while paying me $1,400 and meals.
And meals and a hotel.
Right. So this is his reaction.
Experience at least 4 times in their lives. It's insane. That's such a great. The students were fine with the topic. Everybody was laughing, having a good time. The students, by the way, side note, were the sweetest,
talks
coolest
like Cleveland.
People ever.
He does.
This one lady side in charge, note. Which is so she's
pause
head minister
second,
or whatever,
sorry.
And that's so
sorry.
Messed up.
Cleveland, if young John Travolta were playing Cleveland.
Hey there.
So the students were like, it's like Christopher Walken fucked Cleveland. The students were like, hey there.
She got to shut the show down on her own. She had to say. So what she did was
she's in charge of the show.
She's in charge of that.
And
so.
She called the cops. Which is hilarious.
Okay, that is kind of crazy.
So when he goes, I am gonna tell the joke. She runs out the back. She leaves the showroom to call the police. Now it leaves him on stage. The show is still, I guess. I don't know if it's campus police. Maybe they're just right outside.
Right.
And who knows?
Whoa.
Because I'm doing stand-up comedy. Here's the thing. If you don't like, I know this is all over the place. I'm sorry because I'm so frustrated.
No,
I've never experienced
dude.
Something
keep
like
going,
this before,
Cleveland.
And I'm not sure how to I'm trying to get all. The whole story out.
Watch a possess. She,
if you're going to book a stand-up comedian, and if you get offended by me, if you know my stand-up, the dirtiest I get is I cuss. Yeah, I'll cuss all day. And but for, I was so
that's
clean.
That's Tourette's, right?
Isn't
that part of Tourette's, cussing all day?
My stand-up comedy.
It is, isn't it?
Don't ever book me.
It's just, no, that's stereotypical. A lot of tics, but not cussing. He'll cuss all day.
Well, if I was him, I would just cuss all day and blame it on the Tourette's. I have Tourette's.
Yeah, because he apparently can do a clean set with Tourette's.
With Tourette's.
Which is
so maybe he
fairly remarkable.
Cut. Yeah.
Well, he just has the tics.
Because you can't, I'm one of the cleanest. So you're not going to be able to handle any, but just book a fucking juggler next time, or so you could just, so you could just be entertained by that. Or book a magician, even though you'll probably be like, oh, he's the devil, he's making shit disappear, where's the rabbit? He's the devil, get him off stage. Which is really rude, because he's trying to make a living, and I'm sure he's pretty good at what he does. So
that's nice, he was defending
magicians.
And I did not
potential
answer the
magician.
That was my number one regret.
He didn't answer
the
question.
I should have answered that question. For that guy who asked it, I should.
Want to be educated on Tourette's.
Yeah, want to be educated.
So I didn't answer the question. I moved on, not talking about it. Then one of the students comes back in. The blonde lady sent a student back in. She's a coward. She couldn't come in herself and say it to my face. She sent a minion And a student came back in and was like, you have 5 more minutes in front of everybody again. Stop the entire show as we're having fun, answering different questions. I got off that topic, did not answer. And then he said, you have 5 minutes. Everybody froze. And I was like, no, you booked me for the full hour. It's been 30 minutes.
I'm doing the full hour.
I'd have got off.
And then he's like,
I have 5 minutes. So I'm going to get off.
I will be selling CDs after the show.
I'd have got off right there on the spot. I have 5 more minutes. This show ends right now. Yeah. And you guys were great. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah.
Well,
he will do the full hour.
Yeah, but I'm doing the full hour. And I'm selling CDs.
Which, again, I
do. And I'm going to eat the spaghetti dinner you offered me.
And then what happened? I'm so lost in my own story.
So are we.
So are we, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I said I was going to stay on. And then a minute later, it wasn't even the full 5 minutes. It was a minute later. And she shut my microphone off. So I threw my microphone to the side, tossed it.
And stood up there and stood up there and did your time.
Fuck it. I don't need a microphone. I'm going to say what I have to say to these students. And I had like a 2-minute spiel on... which they already did. They didn't even need to hear it because they already did it. But it was basically just be you, talk about what you want to talk about, be a leader, don't be a follower like this lady who hears something like this and just starts freaking out for no reason.
It's a Baptist University.
Just be your own person.
And there is no God.
It was just the most disrespectful show I've ever done. I couldn't believe it. And then the cops came in, which is the craziest. They walked in and they did like that cop like power stance. And they didn't say anything, but it's just, what are you going to do?
They said, where's the black teen we're supposed to shoot?
Tourette's to the neck.
What's his name, Tourette?
Sex jokes to the face. Take it, cops. It was just insane. You're going to call the cops on a comedian for talking about sex, which I didn't even talk about.
Well, that's a little far. Yeah. You got to a pissing contest is what happened.
And you lost.
And she wasn't going to lose.
But I am really proud for the students.
because they learned.
Especially the ones I fucked after.
One of them came up to me and apologized and said that they felt embarrassed for her and for the school. And they shouldn't feel that way because...
All right, we got the gist.
Like I said, they were really sweet.
We got the gist.
Well, that reminds me of Eric Andre, I think, had one time posted on Facebook before he'd become like quasi-celebrity. He had posted something about like a letter he sent back to a school because I guess he did like a religious school in some state after getting a NACA thing. And then, of course, they were offended. And he was like, why would you hire like an atheist Jewish comedian with blah 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 to be
because
at your school?
They don't know you're an atheist Jewish comedian.
Right, like if that's because I bet if the problem is I think some of these people go to NACA and they put their like most bland friendly fun show and then assume like you've got to give them what you advertise then
right,
in other words, like if you go I'm doing goofy stuff and playing on the drums and running around stage crazy like hey that looks fun and goofy and then all of a sudden it's like religion's a myth and fuck you should just be fucking in the ass
and then the ego of you to assume that they researched me and they know what I want I do well no you're just ex-comedian to them
right.
Entertain our fucking sheep
it takes
here.
Two people to complete that because you have to take the gig and so you have to take the gig at the religious school and think, well, I'll just do whatever the fuck I want.
Right.
You know, you have to know a little better than that.
Right. Too. Just like if you took a corporate gig at Google, I mean, they might, I mean, I'm not, maybe they would be free, but you know what I mean? You take a corporate gig
anywhere.
You just probably think, I should probably do more of a late night television work and crowd work than my real soul
the first
searching
thing you think
deep.
Is, all right, well, it's a corporate thing. First of all, let me get the suit out. Send that shit to the cleaners. Suit. That's number one. let me write this clean set. That's number two. Let me find out who is the boss.
Let me
where's the boss's wife so I can make fun of the boss.
And then let me consult Don Noonan's stand-up book.
Don Noonan knows everything about it. You know, it's
very informative.
I mean, I understand. I guess. Where he's trying to come from. Well, that's youth.
There's a little bit of ego there. It's like
oh, it's a lot of ego
I have to
there.
Win and she's like, I have to win. And it now becomes about winning this moment rather than just saying, maybe this was a bad fit.
There's also the ego
of your losses.
There's also the ego of him of, I have to educate these kids.
On Tourette's sex.
You're just a kid, honestly. You're just a kid.
Yeah, but he's a kid who has Tourette's sex.
Yeah.
They're not.
So they need to know. They need to know. Sometimes when I'm inside, I twitch. And you know.
I've been handed a note at a college show on stage saying don't curse after I was told beforehand I could curse.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't done very many. I'm not really.
You mean
suited
you didn't just
that.
Say fuck it and keep going?
No, I didn't. What happened was it was very bizarre.
Fuck these people.
I just like him, I asked before the set what to talk
about.
Yeah,
you got a very pensive look on your face. You all right there, brother?
I'm just listening.
No. I asked what are any restrictions, and they said no, just do whatever you want. And it's kind of like one of those like just don't be over the top. So you know, don't hump the stool kind of thing.
JB smooth.
So. I went on stage, and I was doing probably 15 to 20 up front and then bringing up a guy. And I think minutes into the set, like, I don't know, 5 minutes in, I get a note. You know, and of course, whenever someone walks up and hands you something, they always do it at the wrong time, like right on a punchline. So this girl walks up and hands me a note, and I open it. I read it out loud into the microphone because I don't know what it says. It says, don't curse. And then even the crowd was like, whoa, because I don't think they were aware of that rule. And I did make a little statement. I said, this was years ago. I'm probably not remembering right, but I said something like, oh, all right, just let you guys know they don't want me to curse up here because there's other people here deciding what you are and are not allowed to listen to because you're not adults or anything. Anyway, and I just went on with my set. I got the light real early. I remember that.
And never got booked again.
Well, no. But I'm not suited for college gigs. Yeah, I was just an opener anyway. I was just someone to fill 15 minutes before Dean Edwards actually was the headliner. This was like 2000 probably.
Can we agree? College gigs, I mean, they generally suck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like it's a weird, like I've done
a cafeteria.
Yeah. I've done a lounge and a cafeteria. Yeah. And I got jealous when I heard Mark Norman on his podcast describing a college gig where it was like a 500 theater. Seat like lecture hall and it was jammed and I was like, fuck.
Right.
Because I've done half filled cafeterias and
at noon.
And they've been all right. Like the best one I did was this college, Lawrence College in Appleton, Wisconsin. And it was like, it was, you know, 30 people in like a lounge, but it was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And it was, but it was like, that was the best one I've done.
They pay well.
I know.
That's what people keep doing.
Oh, yeah. But it's, I realize even having...
You're fighting for them dollars, but they pay well.
Yeah.
Unless you're Mark Norman.
I could have a fucking amazing set, and it is completely unappreciated. It's like completely missed.
Right.
I did a bunch of law school gigs. Now, those were good gigs because they're adults, and they're bored, and they're smart. I know that seems like a weird thing to do, but I was doing I've probably done like 15 law schools.
Why aren't you doing more of those? You got to be the only one.
Well, no, I was in this group.
Geraldo's dead, so who does that leave?
I was in this group, Comedians at Law, and we went under.
You went under?
When I took my talents to Louis C.K. Tells the Classics. And the rest was individual history. But no, those gigs were great because they're literally like, they pay well, and the way we were at least getting them.
Yeah.
And then you're literally in front of smart people who are bored.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know, and then I have like, you know, alone, I have probably 25 minutes on law and law jobs and law school. So it was like relatable and easy. And then I'd sell some CDs after and be like, sweet. And don't expect it to be as nice as it was.
You know, don't talk about law. That's our only restriction.
That's the only restriction.
Talk about law.
Don't talk about law.
And Tourette's fucking. You talk about regular fucking.
I understand where he's trying to go. I just don't agree with it.
Well, you know, it just got into a back and forth with that woman. Like, at some point, just get off stage. Yeah, fuck it.
It wasn't enough for you to sit down for 9 minutes and Tourette into a camera while you're trying to.
Tourette into a camera.
Yeah.
Is that a verb now?
Yeah. I'm making a verb.
Tourette it all over the
Tourette
camera.
Tourette into a camera and try to turn it into something bigger than it is.
Let me ask you a question. Do you guys know a guy named Virtus Lanier or Lanier?
No.
He's friends with, I mean, he's 300 mutual friends, but said friends with Rob Mayer, so I thought maybe he'd be like a...
Bernice? No. Sounds like Baltimore.
He's got a mic and he's on, so let's say confirm.
Comedian? He's holding a microphone in this picture?
Yeah.
right.
That's
well,
the giveaway.
That's, all right. That's fine.
Hello,
probably
friend.
Probably Baltimore. Listen, people, we are coming to the end of today's podcast. We want to thank J.L. Kovan for sitting in.
This is our 400th episode.
Kovan.
You just Hebrewed it up.
Did I Hebrew it? French it up for me.
Jean-Louis Kovan.
Jean-Louis. That's it. Jean-Louis.
Panties are wet.
Yes,
now.
They are. Do it again. Do it again.
Jean-Louis Kovan.
Why don't you go by Jean-Louis?
Because too many people bring me. When I'm a headliner.
Jean-Louis.
When I'm a thespian and a headliner, I'll do the Larry to Lawrence Fishburne thing.
Yeah,
I'll go to Jean-Louis because then they'll have to know my name and it will sound even cooler. But now you get on stage to Jean-Louis. It's like
Jean-Louis Caven.
Jean-Louis CK.
Jean-Louis Caven. Jean-Louis Kovan sat in with us today. We want to thank you.
This is episode 400.
Kovan.
This is our 400. This is a milestone episode of the
podcast. This is the one?
Yeah, I believe
this 400 people and we have Jean-Louis to sit in
Kovan?
With.
Silent S.
What's your brother's name?
I'm not some Puerto Rican kid.
Well, you look. It's the look. What's your brother's name?
Henri.
Henri? Yeah. You know what? I've seen that because it's the H-E-N-R-I. Uh-huh. So you know immediately. Henri. Henri.
Jean-Louis and Henri Covin. look at those panties, getting wet.
Panty. Isn't that the place that sells pastries at the train station? that's au bon pain, right?
It's actually pronounced pain.
Is it pain?
No.
I'm pretty sure it was pain.
It is in the Midwest.
It is pain.
You just
au boner pain. Ow boner pain.
French words you just give up toward the end of the word.
Well, they're very...
it's like they're tired.
They're tired of having to talk to you.
I want to thank Jean-Louis for sitting in with us, and we will have him on again in the future when you're back. I think you're back for Dave Attell.
That's right.
We got to have you back on with that. Unless we can get Dave Attell, then you can just sit in a corner and watch.
He has done the podcast.
He has done the podcast.
Oh, is he going to sit here the whole time?
Was that Jack Nichols?
That's Jack Nichols, I think.
That is. You got that? Good.
And give me your information once again.
Yes, sir. JLCovan.com, JLCAUVIN. That's where you can find links to the YouTube and the Twitter and my podcast. And on Twitter, it's at JLCovan.
Where are we going? You guys know where we at. Once again, I'm at the Improv October 9th through the 12th.
I'm there October 3rd through 5th, dcimprov.com.
We're both there on the 27th.
September 27th
for a last comic standing audition. And JL will be at your audition. Go ahead and say it. Why not?
Oh, September 23rd at Gotham, I believe. September 23rd at Gotham Comedy Club in New York.
These auditions mean nothing, just as long as you all understand
Hey,
that.
If they're listening, I think they mean everything.
They mean nothing.
If the last comic standing people are listening.
Yeah. To me, it's just a cock tease. It's like, hey, were you thinking about leaving comedy? Well, here's a kernel of an opportunity.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, let me postpone all other life plans for the lottery ticket.
Those two kids and that girl you got to meet tomorrow to get pregnant. Twice within 18 months to make this happen.
Nah, I'll end up just being one of those 45-year-olds who just finds a 22-year-old with daddy issues.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll work out for you. That'll terrible. Work out for you.
What so am I, Joe on. Robinson?
Inside joke.
I call him Mark Maron with AIDS.
Yeah, there you go. We will not be here on Thursday, but we will be back the next Monday.
Yeah, no podcast Thursday.
No podcast Thursday. We'll be back the next Monday. Go back and listen to one of our older ones if you guys want to. Other than that, we really appreciate you guys. Hit us with Stitcher reviews. We need them. And keep coming back. We really appreciate y'all. All right? We are out. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And that has been
J.L. Kovan.
No, give it to him.
I'm sorry. Jean-Louis Kovan.
There you go. And we are three guys on. And we are out.